One day, I get a call just before Christmas. My daughter's about 8. She and her friend were busted at the local grocer who I knew. He calls me and says, "Save is here. She's stolen a popsicle."
This is Baldur in Iceland. I met Baldur back in 2016, when 2 days after Christmas, my wife and I took a trip there. Because Christmas was just barely over, we got a small taste of Icelandic Christmas, which is different from the American version in a handful of ways, including how Christmas is officially rung in on Christmas Eve.
That everybody turns on their radio and waits for the radio to go silent for about 10 minutes. Then at 6 o'clock on the nose, the bells start ringing. And then they sort of broadcast a service from a church, one of the many churches. Everybody's all dressed up. That's when everybody goes and kisses each other. You hug and kiss.
It's a largely cozy, homey affair where families gather and connect.
Christmas is a time to be home, eat a lot, get dressed up, but not go anywhere.
And adding to that cozy vibe is perhaps my second favorite Icelandic Christmas tradition.
All the authors here try to get their books published before the what we call the Christmas flood. That's the flood of books. It's all about reading and giving books. And read your books when dinner is over.
I say it's my second favorite tradition because my favorite was something that we encountered before we could even leave the Reykjavik airport, which features a display of a hideous ogress named Grýla stirring a cauldron that you can sit in and take photos. And all around Reykjavik, in souvenir shops and bookstores, even projected onto buildings, were the likenesses of a group of scruffy, trollish-looking fellows called the Yule Lads. This brings me back to Baldur. On the last day of our trip, he was our guide on a private tour of the area. Of course, I was peppering him with questions about Christmas the entire time. He dropped us back off at the airport and gave me his contact info, which I've kept all these years. And when it was time to tell the story of the Yule Lads, I reached out. That's why he was telling me the story about his daughter stealing a popsicle, because a Yule Lad responded in appropriate fashion.
That evening, because she stole a popsicle, that night's Santa Claus put a potato in her shoe. She was terrified because, you see, if you get a potato in your shoe, it also means that Grýla, she will come with a big bag and put them in the bag, take them up into the mountains and eat them.
One by one, over a series of nights during Christmas time, the Yule Lads come down from a mountain, making mischief, rewarding good behavior, and punishing bad. And you may have noticed how Baldur just said, "that night's Santa Claus." In recent times, the influence of Santa Claus has shaped and softened the image of the Yule Lads. But they are their own unique and uniquely wonderful tradition. A melding of different folkloric traditions, a reminder that Christmas past was, and still is in many places, haunted and scary. And a colorful example of that age-old and universal tradition of trying to scare kids into behaving themselves. I'm Brian Earle. This is Christmas Past. Okay, so trolls, ogresses, mountains, potatoes, Christmas. Where do we start?
Well, we need to start really with the oldest figure, which is Grýla.
That's Terry Gunnell, a professor emeritus of folkloristics at the University of Iceland. Grýla is an ogress. She's a figure who goes back to the 13th century, and she is not one to be trifled with.
And she's become, in a sense, like the first feminist. She ate her first husband at some point.
She's from a lineage of similar figures in Gaelic folklore, old women who represent winter. Western Norway has the Wild Ride, which is led by a female figure.
So the idea of female figures representing winter and darkness and being at their most powerful around the Christmas time is very old.
Still, we don't see Grýla having any direct connection to Christmas until later. But in the meantime, her legend evolves, with little details added here and there. Very similar to how the legend of St. Nicholas was shaped through literature like Clement Clark Moore's A Visit from St. Nicholas or Washington Irving's Old Christmas, so too was the legend of Grýla. A few poems suggest that she wanders around in the wilderness, for example. And in one particularly influential poem, the author describes himself taking revenge by comparing himself to Grýla coming down from the mountain with a bag on her back.
She's a mountain being who lives not in the civilized area, and that's where she's stayed ever since.
And then, around the 17th century, we hear the first mention of a group of figures called the Yule Lads. These mythical figures are described as coming down from the mountain and into the civilized world at Christmas time. And just as Grilla follows from a long tradition of figures like her, so too do the Yule Lads.
The idea of the figures coming down from the mountains is also pretty old in Nordic folklore. The idea that, in a sense, the mountain dairies must be vacated by people in October. And the idea is that spirits are moving back in, the nature spirits are moving back in.
These kinds of myths remind us that Christmas was once a pretty spooky holiday in many ways, occurring during the most dark and dangerous time of the year, and that's especially true in Iceland, where the days are very short and the nights very long.
If you're in Iceland at Christmas, it's just starting to get light at about 10:30 in the morning, and it's starting to get dark at about 2 o'clock. So this is dark.
And many pieces of ancient folklore connected to midwinter influenced Christmas, including the Yule Lads.
It's a very similar idea to beings that we find in Norway. Again, in Iceland's folk traditions largely come from Norway initially. And there we have at Christmas time figures dressing up in costumes and going around between farms, often in the shape of a goat, who go around and collect food and drink from different farms. And if you don't behave, they'll take your belongings to pieces.
Now, the Yule Lads may not be hideous ogresses, but still, they were menacing figures.
Our image of them nowadays, they are sort of bearded weirdos, a little bit like sort of Hell's Angels without bikes.
This brings us back to Grilla. Again, she never had any direct connection to Christmas, but then the Yule Lads came along.
She's become their mother, or stepmother, at least up in the mountains. There's no indication anywhere of her giving birth to them, but she's certainly adopted them.
And then her legend continued to evolve, including her own brand of Christmas terror.
There were times, initially, Grilla was a figure to be frightened of by children, because if you don't behave, then she's going to take you and put you into a bag. But she eats anybody who is not wearing new clothes at Christmas time.
Back to the Yule Lads. The number of them has varied, about 10 to 13. And because everywhere in Iceland has a mountain not far from it, local tradition later developed that the lads come from your local mountain over a series of days.
They come down one by one from the mountains, and then they go back one by one.
As Professor Gunnell said, they're sort of raiders, mostly interested in stealing food.
Their name suggests that they take things from people. We have sort of sausage swiper, for example, meat hook, for example.
But make no mistake, they were more than just common thieves, at least at first.
So yes, initially pretty frightening figures, a good way to keep children under control.
And part of that involved a gruesome threat. When they go back up the mountain, you might be going with them, never to be seen again.
There's a strong idea that if they take you, they're going to eat you. The Christmas lads never kidnap people. You don't come back if they've got you.
They were so scary, in fact, that in 1746, Iceland actually passed a law that prohibited parents from scaring their children with stories of the Yule Lads. Of course, it didn't work. All of this is a far cry from the current version of the Yule Lads, who begin their nightly visits on December 12th, leading up to Christmas Eve. As time went on, they started blending with the idea of Santa Claus.
They become nicer. They now, picking up a tradition from Holland initially, they bring small presents with them when they come to town for children. So children leave out their shoes in the window, and then usually, if they've behaved, then they get chocolate or something like this left.
Santa never really took over in Iceland, but the idea of a Christmas gift bringer and the image of red and white clothes has influenced the Yule Lads. Over time, they gave up their ragged, scruffy clothes in favor of red and white, elfin-looking get-ups. Today, the Yule Lads are seen as lovable pranksters, each with his own name and personality, which was solidified in the Icelandic book Christmas is Coming, published in 1932. But of course, old habits die hard. There is still an undercurrent of menace, as Balder recalled in his story about putting a potato in his daughter's shoe. Professor Gunnell's daughter, on the other hand, had a different reaction.
Our older daughter was absolutely furious when that happened. She opened the window and threw the potato out, hoping that she was going to brain whatever supernatural being dared to leave this thing in her shoe. The Icelanders are tough.
We heard earlier that Iceland has a strong Christmas tradition of giving and reading books. Yes, there's nothing quite like curling up with a good book, especially in the winter. A cozy blanket, a cup of tea, maybe even a fire. And of course, books received as Christmas gifts often go on to become treasured favorites. Just ask John in New Jersey.
Christmas 1997 was the first Christmas we celebrated after my grandmother's passing. She was a very big part of our family and of our holiday traditions, so it was a hard year for us. My sister and I had watched a movie where the family had a tradition of opening one present on Christmas Eve, and we asked our parents if we could do that. They agreed. The gift I opened was a book called Holiday in Your Heart by my favorite singer at the time, Leanne Rimes. It's a short book about a young country star who learns what is truly meaningful at Christmas when her grandmother has a medical emergency. And as I sat down in front of the tree to read that book on Christmas Eve, I felt a bit of hope and understanding in how similar the story was to my family's. I stayed up very late finishing that book and fell asleep in the same spot on the couch where my own grandmother would sleep on past Christmas Eves. It's now my own tradition to read Holiday in Your Heart every year, holding my grandmother and her spirit and the nostalgia of my childhood Christmases close.
We're less than a week away from Christmas of 2024. I hope you've been having a wonderful season and that you have plans to make the most of the rest of it. My plans include staying with you all the way up till Christmas Day, just like every year. So I'll see you again soon. And until then, I'll remind you that Christmas Past is produced in wonderful Willow Glen, California, by yours truly, Brian Earle. Thank you so much to Balder Gilfa, Professor Terry Gunnell, John in New Jersey, and you. Reach out anytime to let me know how your Christmas season is going or life in general. I always love to hear from you. I'm at ChristmasPastPodcast@gmail.com, or you can connect with me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And join our private Christmas Past Facebook group if you haven't yet. And if you're really feeling the Christmas spirit, why not help more people discover the show? It's as simple as telling a friend about it or leaving a review on Apple Podcasts. If you do leave a review, I'll send you a Christmas Past sticker, and a handwritten Christmas card is my way of saying thanks, any time of year. Reach out for details, and until we meet again, may your days be merry and bright.